Ramsey TV.
I want to talk to you this morning about the reality of Satan. The word Satan, it's a generic Hebrew word. It means adversary. When it's capitalized, it is referring to the adversary, that is, the one created by God to oppose everything he does. And why in the world, my dearly beloved, would God want a being to oppose everything he does? It is so that he can write heroes into the script who will overcome the adversary, overcome Satan through great feats of spiritual daring do. This is Martin Sender. I am in South Florida, or as I like to say, the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. Why do I say that? It's because I'm on the edge everywhere in life, every aspect of life. And you and I were perched on the edge of deliverance of our bodies. We're perched on the edge of society. We don't belong in the world. And so for me, what better thing than to geographically reflect these spiritual realities? That's why I mention it. There's a method to my madness, you see? So to show you how serious Satan is about wrecking God's plans. And again, he was designed to do this. He was a man killer from the beginning. There's the verse. And we know he's a liar. And we know he's aggressive. No, he's not nice. He's not nice. He'll come across as nice in these days, but these days he's operating on a completely different plan than he used to operate in the old days. He's much more subtle. He's learned a few things as he's gone. I mean, for heaven's sake, our Lord learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Don't you think Satan has also learned tactical procedures, new tactical procedures, upon learning by experience that his old tactical procedures failed miserably? Satan, as you know, is a spiritual being. His present residence is among the celestials. He does gallivant upon the earth to and fro. He has minions, just as our Lord has celestial messengers and other small g gods, the Elohim, to work his will upon the earth. Satan also has underlings, accomplices, getaway car drivers who, at his behest, wreck things on the planet, or attempts to. Now, before I get into this, let me say that Satan can't wreck anything that will wreck the plans of God. The perfect example of that is the crucifixion. Satan is an intelligent spiritual being, but in some ways he's not all that intelligent because he doesn't see the far-reaching effects of what he does. The cross, as we know, was his attempt to murder Christ. Some people think, I've heard this theory, I don't buy into it, that in the garden, that it was Satan's idea actually to, that our Lord would escape the cross. And so it was him who was tempting the Lord to get out of the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I don't think so. I don't think so. Satan doesn't know the far-reaching effects. Well, as evidence, I'm going to go to the Garden of Eden right now. He doesn't understand the far-reaching effects. Murder is his thing, man. Deception and misery and murder. Now, at the inauguration of creation, we know that he was active in the garden in the form of a serpent. He can take many forms, just as Christ can take many forms. And with the creation of humanity, a completely new creation, I'm going to get around to applying this to the body of Christ. This, This corresponds, this has to do with 1 Corinthians 15 and Paul's simple statement, the gospel of the grace of God, the death of Christ for our sins. I've told you earlier about the pitfalls Satan puts in front of those. Now I'm going to show you that he has consistently tried to wreck things throughout the Aeonian times. This will help you understand that I'm not kidding when I say that these doctrines of demons are his latest, greatest efforts to derail God's plans, especially God's plans having to do with the celestial realms. I mean, he doesn't like the earth either, don't get me wrong, but he hates any plans, any plot that he gets a whiff of that would wreck his plans. And he is now, as I said, currently among the celestials. He's not cast out of heaven until somewhere around midway in the book of Revelation, which event is still future. So when the human race was created, Satan knew that something big was up. There was no human beings. There was no such thing as a human, no such thing as a man in the entire universe. This was a completely new thing. God created the earth in order to have a stage for humanity to come in. And humanity was basically a vehicle to bring in his son. Humanity has two hands so that Christ's hands could be nailed to a cross. Humanity has pain receptors so that the Son of God could suffer for the sake of humanity. So humanity primarily was created as a vehicle in which the Son of God could lower himself and become susceptible to satanic fury and battle it not from a celestial throne, but from a Roman stake. Absolutely terrifying and horrible, but he did it, not us, thank God. So you can thank him for eternity for doing that. So Satan knew the human race was dangerous to him. So the first thing he wants to do is wreck it. And so he goes into the garden and he seduces and deceives our foremother in the Hebrew Chava. Chava, that's the Hebrew name for Eve. I prefer calling her Chava because people have become inured. To the name Eve, it sounds too much like a Bible story. Oh, Martin Sanders talking about Adam and Eve. Yeah, how about I talk about Adam and Chava? Oh, now you're paying attention, aren't you? These people were real. And so Satan wants to wreck it, bring sin and death into the world so that humanity doesn't get the crazy idea that they're going to be great and somehow, some way, someday usurp his realm in the heavens. So, of course, causes them to disobey God, and we know this created a train wreck of sin and death. But is it a train wreck? Relatively, yes, absolutely. It was planned by God. This is why I say Satan, he doesn't have that long view of what this will eventually produce. This became a necessary background, that is, sin and death, a necessary background to God's revelation of redemption and life. Satan didn't know that. He looks back and goes, what the? I provided the necessary contrast. I mean, he'll get to the cross, too, and say, oh, great, I provided for the reconciliation of the entire universe, including myself. He'll be thankful for that someday, but now he's like, Foiled again. Satan doesn't actually sound like that. He sounds like this. Foiled again. Just wanted to make that clear. So, the race begins to flourish anyway. People are reproduced. And if he hears that hateful thing in the Garden of Eden, Satan heard what he didn't want to hear. When the curse was pronounced on Adam and Eve, I mean, Satan felt good for about 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes, 12 minutes. And then God says to Eve, the serpent shall bruise your heel, but you shall crush his head. Ow, Satan, when he heard that, crush his head. And God was talking about Eve's progeny, her offspring. Her offspring, that which would come out of her, would crush Satan's head. What? 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 It was reported to him by one of his minions. The exact transcript of that conversation. Satan sitting on his throne reads it. He's probably not on a throne. That's... I reserved a throne for God. Satan is sitting on his bar stool in whatever crazy place he's at. And he goes, not He didn't like it. So he dispatched celestial beings to intermingle with the human race, to wreck the human race. Tried to wreck it once, and he did. And yet he finds out that that wreckage will produce an offspring that will eventually crush his head. Satan must be thinking, what do I got to do here? What do I got to do here to wreck things? So he says, decides to send celestial beings, evil spiritual beings, to intermingle with the human race, to foul the race, to wreck the seed, to screw up the DNA so that this reproductive thing will get a wrench tossed into it and will never produce whatever God had in mind to produce. And of course, what God had in mind to produce is the Lord Jesus Christ through Chava's offspring. The Lord Jesus Christ would come. She thought that, you know, her first son was the deliverance. The deliverer is here. No, that's a little bit down the road, Chava baby. Nice try, though. So, yeah, Cain. Behold, the man-child who shall crush Satan's head. No, not quite. Good guess. But anyway, as we know, this produced a crazy race, a evil race of giants upon the earth called the Nephilim. And they were a composite of spiritual and human beings. It was illicit. It was like a woman having sex with a horse. Don't think about it too long, okay? Or a man having sex with a sheep. Stop it. Don't think about it right now. Think about it later. But, of course, thank God that interaction doesn't produce offspring. But this one did. This one did. The evil satanic beings. And it created a crazy race of individuals called Nephilim. They were giants. They were freakazoids. That's my name for them. Don't look in scripture. You won't find it. But. And humanity became evil. Not that they wouldn't have become evil on their own, but I think this illicit union between celestial beings and human women, because for some reason the celestial beings even think women are beautiful. I get criticized for saying how beautiful women are. But even these intelligent, but not that intelligent, celestial spiritual beings look down and go, oh my God, she looks absolutely fabulous in those heels. Absolutely fabulous. I love that dress, darling. So they come down and they do the dirty deed, I guess. I don't know how this happens. I don't know how it happens, but it does. Anyway, probably the flood of Noah was partly due to the seed of humanity being spoiled. This was Satan's effort to, again, derail the human race. Derail it. He derailed it except for 8 people. Foiled again, actually, because these 8 people repopulated the earth. Satan says, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? Well, the next big thing he did was try to... big thing. Yeah, he wrecked Job and provided a great illustration for us down through the ages of God's use of evil and his deliverance from evil and the purpose of evil. That was all an object lesson. Satan provided that for us. I'm glad I wasn't chosen for that object lesson. I'm sure you are too. I would rather have been chosen for the object lesson of King Solomon. That would have been my preferred object lesson because God experimented with him with wealth and fame. And the object lesson, the lesson there was to show that even with all the money in the world and all the fame in the world, it still doesn't make you happy. You still end up writing a book. The book of Ecclesiastes, when you say, it's all BS, it's all vanity, it's all nonsense. This coming from the richest, most famous man in the world, who spared himself no pleasure, and God spared him no pleasure. I would rather have been that experiment, to be honest with you, rather than the Job experiment. But each experiment, when I say experiment, each demonstration, I should say, it was Satan's experiment. In the relative, was God's demonstration in the absolute. One to show that evil comes from God and it always has a good outcome. One to show that wealth and fame do not make you happy. Here's the example, so don't try to do it because if you're going to try yourselves with many pains, and I told you, I tried to tell you over here. Tried to tell you. And don't despair over evil because Job is the poster boy for that. Don't despair. I tried to tell you. You get double, triple, quadruple on your money or more. We're going to get more. So anyway, now coming back to the body of Christ, we're the latest, greatest thing since the crucifixion. I repeat that in case you missed it. We are the latest, greatest thing of what God plans to do with the human race since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We are a result of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. We know that. We know that by his blood he reconciles all things to himself. But also, we have a first fruit of the Spirit. He's the firstborn from among the dead. We are the secondborn from among the dead. And we will be raised, because we're members of the body of Christ, chosen beforehand to supernal heights, to great glories. And we will, of course, displace Satan, cast him out. We will be instrumental in doing that. And Satan no likey that. So he wants to wreck anyone becoming members of the body of Christ. Now this little train of thought joins the train I set up before, that Satan has created doctrines of demons, one of them being human free will, one of them being eternal torment, one of them being the Trinity, in order to keep people from believing the elements of Paul's gospel, the death of Christ for sin. And then to make this connection, you go back to my other videos, maybe last week or the week before, in this 1 Corinthians 15 series. Someone might say, I'll end with this, Martin Zender, I heard you say eternal torment. You haven't mentioned that one. Do you think the belief in eternal torment causes people to not get to the basic elements to believe Paul's gospel? And I will say this is the way I'm thinking now, not directly, no. But eternal torment forces people into free will. Free will is the deadly teaching, because in free will you try to establish your own righteousness. And I probably didn't tell you this before, but I believe that free will also disqualifies the circumcision gospel. Read Romans chapter 10. Paul says they are trying to establish their own righteousness. And because they're trying to establish their own righteousness, they were not subject to the righteousness of God. There you go. Paul says, the cry of my heart is for their salvation. Speaking of the Jews, speaking of those embracing the circumcision gospel. For he says, they have a form, they're always seeking to establish their own righteousness. And in doing so, they were not subject to the righteousness of God. This is the trait of them. And the result, Paul says, he's trying to make believers out of them, but at this point, they're unbelievers. So free will wrecks everything. The doctrine of eternal torment drives people into free will. Somewhat normal people into human free will, because we can't make God responsible for somebody being tortured for eternity, so we're going to make the human responsible. The only people that don't have a problem with that is Calvinists. They have no problem with making God absolutely responsible for sending people to eternal torment. I can explain Satan to you, that's easy, but Calvinists, I can't even begin.